Holy Spirit moves mightily, and I know He's going to move mightily this week. And so even though it might be a little bit chillier than normal, it's going to be still a great week of the Holy Spirit touching lives. And so thank you, Aurora. Go ahead and turn to your Bibles if you have them with you. If not, there should be some in front of you. Chapter 37, we're going to start in verse 1. If you're there, say there. All right. Here we go. Praise the Lord. Hopefully you came expecting. Because I'm expecting. You know, sometimes we come and we're expecting God to move to a point, but our expectation level is all depends on who's here and who's not here. All matters to me is if God's here, and He's here. And the thing about it, He's right about to do something in your life that you can't imagine or dream. See, the thing about it, if we just do things in the natural, we're just going to reap the natural. And I believe because you took the opportunity on this beautiful Sunday evening in February that there's no football anymore for a while. Some people rejoice. But because you took this action to come, bundled up, started a car, warmed up a car, got here, that shows God that you are wanting more than just a Sunday morning touch. That shows God that there's something more that you're hungering for than just the average person that shows up. Maybe some of you were drug here. Maybe some of you didn't. You're like, man, I didn't really want to come. But I said I was going to come or whatever. I'm telling you, you came to the right place tonight. So in Ezekiel 37, as he writes this, he goes, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live again?" Think about it, they're dry bones, they're not even connected. It's not like the corpse were just thrown in there or out in the valley just for a few moments. So Ezekiel answers, "O Lord, God, you know." In verse 4 again, he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." I want to stop there for a moment. Think about what he just said, the Lord just said. Hear the word of the Lord. Not the words of myself or a song, but hear the word of the Lord. If the word of the Lord is not there, you won't get the results. You can speak into the blue in your face, but you need to speak the word of the Lord. He says, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This says the Lord, God to these bones. Surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will put swines on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." Verse 7. "So I prophesied as I was commanded. And I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the swines and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. Verse 9. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Say to the breath, this says the Lord God. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, exceedingly great army. Now verse 11. Then the Lord said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel, and they indeed say our bones are dry. Our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this says the Lord God, behold, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out. I'll open your graves and cause you to come up from the graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Verse 13. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from the graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. This is a prophecy. This is an illustration for when they were in bondage. They were not living in the land of Israel at this time. And it was for the nation of Israel to come out of the bondage, come out of the what they thought was a dead end place. And for us tonight, as being grafted into the house of Israel, we're going to walk through this, because I believe as the Lord comes upon you, you're going to start speaking things. See here, there's things that you are designed to do. The only way you can do those things is when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and flows out of you. See, Ezekiel was just a regular man that God has touched upon his life. He's no different than we are. And God said, I'm going to pluck you up, and I got a job for you. See, so many times we look around, and all we see is dead bones everywhere. We see the mess that we created, and we're like, God can't fix this. It's too messy. It's too big of a mess. It's dead. This relationship is done. There's no way God can heal this relationship. There's no way God can heal this job. There's no way God can fix my crisis. It's a mess. But God wants to come upon you and allow you to walk in the Spirit tonight and see things as if they could be possible, even greater than you can imagine. You think about it, that in God's words, it says that we get to speak out of the tongue comes death or life. And here, with the anointing of God, he goes, I'm going to speak life over what is dead. See, so many times we get wrapped up, and when we start confessing the wrong things, you know, 2025 did not start out the way I wanted to. But yet, 2025, by the time it ends, I want to see more souls in the kingdom of God this year than we've had in years. I want to see more instant healing, more miraculous services. Because 2025 is not a year for the devil to run shout over us. It's a year for the Holy Spirit to move and the anointing to fall upon you, and you can start speaking life into what you think is dead.
Amen.
It's not dead. It's not donezo. If God's in it, He's going to reconnect the things, and things are going to come back to life. Rather than say, woe is me, say, whoa, watch out, here comes God. Because God created you not for yourself. He created you because he had a picture of you thriving and doing mighty things in the Lord. The only difference between you and the people in the Bible is the Bible was already written and you weren't in that time span. And the cool thing about it, we have the Holy Spirit as believers living inside of us. I take that any day. I mean, I'd love to be alive when Jesus was alive, but I might have been one of the Pharisees or the Sadducees. It would have been great to be alive when Moses was alive and say, hey, let's get out of Egypt. But I can imagine me being one of the 12 come back. Well, that's kind of big stuff for us. But I'm telling you, you were created for a time such as this. And God has a plan and He's going to orchestrate it. But first things first, you need to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. You need to be allowed, we need to allow the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing it says, the hand of the Lord's upon me. Jesus quoted Isaiah when he started his ministry. The hand of the Lord's upon me to heal the sick, to minister to the poor, and all those things. You have the same Holy Spirit. The same hand of the Lord that is upon Ezekiel here in chapter 37 is the same hand of the Lord that can be upon you. There's no difference. And God's ready to work through you for the kingdom of God. One man can't solve it all. God says, Jesus solved it all. We get that. But God says, I want to come along and put my spirit in you to carry out. Many of us can look around and say, it's hopeless. And God's telling you, what about this? What about this? What about this? It's interesting. The first, what did God ask the gentleman? What did God ask Ezekiel? He goes, hey, Ezekiel, do you think these bones can live again? Hey, guys, do you think I can move in God's center once again? Hey, guys, do you think I can move in Dodge County or Minnesota? Or is it too far gone? How about make it personal? Hey, you think I can move in your family? Oh Lord, I don't know, man. My family's kind of. And Jesus comes back, well, my family's quite interesting too. But the thing about it, maybe you're at a job. Maybe you're in a situation and it looks hopeless. And it doesn't look really great. But can you look at the bones that you're looking at, all this stuff, and God's saying, can I move in that situation? Can I? How would you answer that? He goes, son of man, can these bones live again? How would you answer it? I'm glad with the answer, just like Ezekiel. Well, Lord, only you know. It doesn't take too much faith to say that. Well, Lord, you know if you want to heal them or not. Lord, you know if you want to resurrect this marriage or not. Lord, you know if you want to bring my family home or not. See, when we speak out of our flesh, when we speak out of what we see, we don't speak faith. We don't speak hope. We actually speak like, well, I don't know, God. I don't know if you want to heal me tonight. But I'm telling you, he does. He wants to move. He doesn't want you to just look at the bones and say, well, it's hopeless. No, there's hope with it. See, even when they, at the end of this section, he goes, they even believed that they were hopeless. See, because when you're in a grave, when you're feeling dead, when you're feeling like you're walking through garbage, or walking through quicksand with boots on, and you feel like you're not making headway, it feels hopeless. But I'm telling you, we serve a God of hope, God of power, God of anointing. And he wants to work through you. But it starts with your confession. It starts with what you say. See, it says, God tells him what to say. If you say this, this is going to happen. See, the thing about it, it's easy to say, well, that person's going to be that way the rest of their life. Why are you putting that title on them until they die? Jesus looks at them. Say, they might be hopeless now. They might be in a grave right now. But I'm going to resurrect them out of that grave. And he says, come out of that grave. What did he do with Lazarus? He didn't just keep his friend in that tomb. He said, pull back the rock. When you remove that rock, guess what he did? He didn't just speak into the tomb to everyone come out, but he had a specific word for Lazarus. God has a specific word for you. And the thing about it, we miss it because we're over here saying negative things about our family, about our friends, about this and about that. But I'm telling you, when God speaks through you, so you can speak life, hope, and there's things that will take place. So he said, so I answered, oh Lord God, you know. You know, they're having this conversation. And the Lord said to him again, prophesy to these bones. Look at that person. Look at that situation. And start prophesying what God has. Well, I don't know what God has for it. Have you asked him? And some of it's easy. We already know. Some of it's, he's come to bless us. See, if you're a tither and giver, you can tell that the devourer to shut his trap. If you're walking in pain and suffering, you can tell that devourer to say, tell him to go home. Because the word of God is stronger than anything else. So he goes, again, he goes, prophesy to these bones and say, oh, dry bones. I love this. Hear the word of the Lord. The greatest thing you can, the greatest weapon you have is not worship. Is not fasting, is not prayer, is not gathering together. The greatest weapon you have is the Word of God. You can put the Word of God into prayers. You can put the Word of God into worship. You can put the Word of God into sermons. But that's the greatest thing you could ever pull out. You suffering, just pull out the Word of God. It's not, well, you know what pastor says. Be careful what I say. But what matters is what the Word of God's Word does not come back void. It comes back fulfilled. Sometimes it takes a while for it to come back fulfilled, but I'm telling you, when you rather than quoting some famous artist or some famous poet or some famous songwriter, I say start quoting the Word of God and have the Word of God be more powerful than anything else out there. So the thing about it, when you prophesy, it's different than just saying it. When you prophesy, there's anointing behind that word. Because it's easy to say, well, Lord, your word says this, and you just go on. But when you say, Lord, according to your word, I prophesy, I declare over this situation, dry bones, Jerry, is alive again. You're coming up with a shot. Woo! See, so many times, we feel so dead. We need somebody to come in and prophesy to us. Hey, it's going to get better. And sometimes you got to prophesy to yourself. Hey, oh man, it's going to get better. Prophesy to those things. Because God is there. And I love it. It says, prophesy these. This is the word of the Lord. I'm telling you, there's something about that tonight that you need to go home and start reading the Word of God. And not just reading it. It says what? Faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing what? The news? The Word of God. The greatest thing to build your faith is the Word of God. When you sit down to read it, don't mumble it. Don't sit there and read it just with your eyes. Read it out loud with your voice. Because there's something about confessions. See, the thing about it, there's two types of confessions. One is a negative confession. And two is the positive confession. One, you can say, well, I got this, I got that, I got that. Or you can say, you know, I'm blessed and highly favored because of God. How's it going? God's on my side. Who cares who's against me? You're confessing the word of God over that situation. Does that mean everything's easy and going straight? No, that means that there's a word of God. And when you plant the word of God, guess what? You're going to plant something. I don't know about you, but gardening season's somewhat around the corner. They got seeds in the thing. They got the little trays ready to go. And some people are getting their soil ready indoors to get their little seedlings going. They're not just going to buy weeds and throw them into their garden. They're going to buy specific seeds to grow. And so every situation has a specific seed that you can sow into that situation. And what you sow as a seed will come back. There's some seeds that you might have sown 10 years ago. And now they're coming up, you're like, oh my, I should have never sown that seed. And some of them you sowed 10 years ago, you're like, I'm so glad I sowed that seed. It says that these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will put swines on you, and bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am God. Check this out. When you prophesy, when you speak life, and things start to take place, then you'll know I am God. God does not mind showing off for you. God says, if you speak my word, you will know that I'm God and I showed up. So he goes in verse 7, he goes, so I prophesied as I was commanded. So in other words, he didn't just say any words. He said the specific words God told him to say. See, he's going to give you specific words to say over that situation. He'll say certain things over the certain situations. Back when we were living in Phoenix, we had a monthly prayer meeting at the church we were at. And there was a lady there who was well along her way to pregnant. She was, 7 months along or something. And I never met her before. Never met her mom, but her mom would go to church. There was a larger church. So I went up to her and I go, obviously she was pregnant. And I go, guess what? You don't have to worry about this pregnancy. God's in it. And she stopped and she looked at me like, what did you say? I go, I felt like I was supposed to come over here and tell you your baby's going to be okay through when it gets delivered. It'll be okay. It'll be fine. And she just starts crying. I'm like, great. I still have that effect, don't I? And found out that the doctor told her earlier in the week there could be a complication in that pregnancy. But I had to work because I spoke what God told me to speak. I never met this lady. I never seen her since. I have no clue what happened to her and her baby and her family. I never met her mom again. I have no clue where they came from. But the thing about it, it says, so when I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was noise. I don't know about you. You start speaking, you're having a conversation with somebody, and there's some noise taking place. Doesn't that distract you? You can imagine you're having a conversation one-on-one with this person, and all of a sudden there's some rattling of bones. I don't know what rattling bones sound like, but I can imagine all these things just boom, coming together. And it's a whole valley of bones. So it's not just like one or two people. I mean, it's like tons of people. All these bones coming together, and they're not wet bones. They're not like wet noodles, okay? They're like hard bones, like clicking and clacking and making noise. God's going to move as you speak. But I'm telling you to keep on speaking. Don't get distracted by what God's doing. Keep moving forward because there's something He wants to do even greater. And the thing about it is the bones that saw some boom, clatter. Almost like the Santa Claus thing. Like, also I heard a clatter up on the roof. And the Lord, this is the Lord. And so I prophesied, and there was the noise, suddenly rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked. So He's done. You play a part in what God wants to do. You don't have to do anything extra. You don't have to do anything more besides speak what God tells you to speak and then sit back and watch Him move. That's the cool thing about it. When God starts to move, that's when you take your hands off and say, okay, Lord, You keep moving. And that's what's going to happen tonight. Some of you came in desperate for God. Some of you came in not knowing where to go. But we're going to pause when you come up for prayer and say, God, speak. And we're going to hear some rattling. We're going to believe. But there was no breath in them. There's something about breathing. I never met a person alive that doesn't breathe. Only dead people don't breathe. Things that are not alive do not breathe. This podium is not alive. It doesn't breathe.
The Word of God
is alive. It breathes into me life. The pews that you're sitting on are not alive.
Thank you, Lord. They're not up around moving on us.
And so, but the only thing that can bring things to life is the breath of God. When He created Adam, He took a little dirt and made Adam. And so, wow, there he is. That's kind of cool. But Adam was not alive until God breathed into his nostrils. And then when He breathed into his nostrils, that's when he comes alive. Some of you are physically alive, but you need a breath of the Holy Spirit to breathe on you tonight. You're like, I'm dying. I'm in this grave, Lord. I'm dying. I'm alive physically, but spiritually, I need a breath of life. God goes, that's what I'm here for.
There was no breath in them. So can you imagine, you're hearing all these bones rattling and all the joints coming together and all of a sudden the skin comes on them and the organs come into them, the hearts come into them because they needed to be alive. And all of a sudden, they're just standing there, a bunch of corpse.
I'm telling you, there's the next step. Don't just speak God's word into it. Prophesy the Spirit of the Holy Spirit would move into that situation. Say, Lord, I prophesy your word
that even though bad things are taking place, even though there's many things against me, it doesn't matter because you are for me. You are for me. If God is for you, who really cares who's against you?
Because if God is for you, it doesn't matter what's coming against you. It can be all hell coming against you. But guess what? If God is for you, that thing won't prosper a bit. And you say, Lord, I prophesy that it doesn't matter what comes against me. Because I know who's for me. And I declare your breath of life, your Holy Spirit, come into this situation and breathe.
And so, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. See, God could easily put these bones together. Say, step back, son of man.
I'll show you how to do it. I'm God here. Let me do it for you. He doesn't work that way. He goes, son of man, I want you to partner with me to make these things come to life. That's a partnership. And when we partner with God,
the miraculous happens. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. So now he's not speaking to these bones right now. He's prophesying to the breath. He's saying to the breath, prophesy, son of man. Say to the breath. Say this to the Spirit of the Lord. This says the Lord God, come from the four winds, breathe, and breathe on these slain. They were dead. And that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And I breathed. And breath came into them. And they lived. And they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army.
Here in a little bit, we're going to say what Ezekiel said. That you will prophesy. All you are going to prophesy to the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, come inside me. Breathe once again in me. That I am no longer dead, but I'm alive.
And he said, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry. How many feel dry, weary, worn out? Our hope is lost. Guess what? If you feel hopeless, you feel like you don't have, it's lost, I'm telling you, we're going to tell that thing to come up out of the grave. We sing that song. Come up out of that grave! Sometimes you have to prophesy over yourself where you want to become. That you need to prophesy, say, body, I tell you, come in alignment, and I command you that the word of the Lord says this, and you get to obey the word of the Lord, because that's the supreme thing. Not the Constitution, not the law of the land, the word of God is supreme. It says, oh, dry bones. It says, our hope is lost and we are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this says the Lord, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from the graves. Grave of death. Grave of sin. I declare you no longer have a hold on me. Say, I prophesy the word of God. Because the word of God is what we have. See, so many times we look at the thing in the natural. But God says the thing in the natural will always let you down. A preacher will let you down. Politicians will let you down. A wall will let you down. Finances will let you down. Your friends, your family. The only one that will never let you down is God. And he goes, I got this. But you need to do your part. God is on the move. And God wants to speak into your life. What's going to happen here in shortly? Those who want prayer and those who don't want prayer, I'm going to still pray for you. Because those who don't want prayer are the ones that probably need prayer as much as those who are wanting prayer. Am I right? Just like this morning. Hey, you want prayer? Well, we never, when someone offers you prayer, you take it. And so I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen. We're going to prophesy. And we're going to see things rattle. In the natural. I'm done just expecting things in the supernatural. That's fun and all. But I'm believing tonight we're going to walk from the supernatural happenings in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see the next work in the natural. I'm done saying, wow, that was a good, warm, fuzzy feeling service. I want to see the bones rattle and rattle. And I want to see the breath of God come in and breathe and people's hair stand on end and see the move of God, not just spiritually, but not just emotionally, but physically, manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what was taking place here. Because there's some, when Jesus walked in on the situation, when the dead people were dead, they didn't stay dead. They got off their grave and they were alive. See, so many times, we are satisfied with the goosebumps. And I have no problem with goosebumps. But it can't stop there. It can't. It needs to be manifested in the natural. It needs to be manifested in the natural through the supernatural. And because the Holy Spirit's here, I believe it's going to work tonight. I believe that God's up to something great. Guess what? You don't have to wait till tomorrow morning. You don't have to wait another moment. Because we serve a God
It didn't say speak to these bones and 24 hours later or 15 days later or a year later they'll come to life.
No, what did it say? It said he spoke what God told him to speak, and then he heard it happen.
I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to hearing things happening, seeing things happening.
So many times, we're like, well, that's well, that was good enough. No,
I'm believing the fullness to take place tonight. You're going to come up out of that grave.
You will no longer live there. You'll no longer stay there. You'll no longer be held there. It says, the Lord God, they go, behold my people, I will open your graves. The Lord will call you out. And you shall know that I am the Lord. And brought you up. I, verse 14, I love this. I will put my spirit in you. If you gave your life to Christ, the spirit lives in you already. And you're not defeated. I'll put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I'll place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord that have spoken it and performed it. See, when you prophesy the word of God, it's not your words are being prophesied. It's God's word. It says he will perform it.
He will perform his word tonight. And you'll see great mighty things. And you will see and feel the touch of the Holy Spirit like you never have before. Those who are weak and weary, he's going to pull you up out of your bootstraps and place you out of your grave. You don't have to walk around defeated anymore. You're more than a defeat. You're a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Those things that have you bound, you are now set free. Because you are free, you are set free. You are no longer bound by chains, bound by addiction, bound by fear, bound by worry, bound by those things. You're now connected with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be set free. You're not what your past called you. I don't care what your past has called you. Guess what? You're a new creation. And the old things are done. Old ways of thinking. Old things are done. You're a new creation. And you're now remodeled. You're now a special project. You're torn down and God rebuilt you. You're new. Like a new baby. But you're not staying as a baby. You're growing. So what we're going to do here in a few minutes, I know I keep saying that, we'll get there. But we got to build up our faith by the Word of God. What's going to take place is that we're going to have some music in the background. We'll have it up on the screen so you can sing along. But we're going to prophesy. We're going to read that from Ezekiel. We're going to say, breath of God, breathe in me. The word of the Holy Spirit, breathe in me. The fire of God is in this place. The presence of God is here. Not because of a man, not because of a song, because he saw your commitment. He goes, if you're really after me, I'll slow down so you can catch up. You cannot outrun God, and God will never outrun you. As we sing a song, his mercies, his goodness follows me all the days of my life. So stop claiming
things that are not God's mercies, are not God's goodness. Stop claiming debt, fear, doubt, worry. Those are not God's goodness. His goodness is freedom, power, anointing, love, hope, faith, power. That's what it is. His goodness is abundance. And he come to bless you with abundance, not lack. I declare spirit of lack is broken.
All right. I think we're ready now. That I think you guys are ready to receive what God has.